So, what did you want to see me about?
Well, Mr. Kramer, to get right to it, we're having a bit of a problem with Barry.
Barry?
The chimpanzee.
Oh, well, what's the problem?
Well, he's not functioning the way he normally does. He seems depressed. He's lost his appetite. He's even curtailed his autoerotic activities. And we think this is directly related to the altercation he had with you the other day.
So what do you want me to do?
Well, frankly, we'd like you to apologize.
Yeah, well, he started it.
Mr. Kramer, he's an innocent primate.
So am I. Yeah, what about my feelings? Don't my feelings count for anything?
Oh, only the poor monkey's important. Everything has to be done for the monkey.
Hello, and welcome to The Place to Be, a Seinfeld podcast. I'm your host, Adam.
And I'm Eric.
On today's episode, we welcome Ray Burt. Ray has appeared in a number of films and TV shows, including Cheers, The Wonder Years, Home Improvement, Frasier, Night Court, The Golden Girls, and he played Pap Schmier in the Naked Gun franchise. But Seinfeld fans will always remember him for playing Mr. Pless in the classic season 6 episode, The Face Painter. And we're so glad he can join us today. Thank you for being with us, Ray.
I'm happy to be here and pleased that you found me. Since I no longer live in Los Angeles, but I live here in the wilds of Western Massachusetts.
Oh, very cool. Well, we're glad we found you too, because we're really excited to talk to you. We love you in this role. So can you tell us how the role on Seinfeld first came about?
Well, the most interesting thing about doing the whole episode was that I never auditioned for it. It came as a total surprise. I had auditioned earlier for an episode I can't even remember the name of. It must have been at least several weeks prior. And the audition went very well, I thought. And Jerry was great. He always sat in on all the auditions for, the guest cast. And I thought for sure I had nailed it and got it, but it didn't happen. So I let it go. And then lo and behold, weeks later, I got a call from my agent and said, guess what? You've got a part on Seinfeld. So that's how it came into my lap.
So you're saying the casting director liked what you did in the previous audition and they were just like, oh, we think Ray will be good for this part?
Well, who knows what the conversation was, but it must have been something like that. And I must have made a good impression on Jerry because he remembered me and thought that I would fit in with this role. And I have no memory of what that original audition was. You know, when you don't get something, survival in Los Angeles means you forget about it and move on to the next one. And that's what I did.
So once you arrived on the set, what was your first impression of the cast and crew?
Everyone was very welcoming. They were a very successful show. And as is the case with most successful shows, they are very relaxed and easy. They know what they're doing. They know how it goes. And they're very friendly and supportive to the guest cast because we're the ones who are newcomers and are always a little unsure and, need their kind of support. And I very much remember that from Jerry. He was great. It's interesting. You probably know this already from interviewing other actors who've been on the show. But part of the warm-up they did with the audience is they show the episode from the previous week because a lot of their things were done single pieces or single camera that weren't done in front of a live audience. So they never got a live audience for certain scenes. So they very cleverly showed the episode that had never been aired to that audience in preparation for the things that were done in front of the live audience in the episode I was doing. They showed them that and they record that audience laughing at the show. And that's how they got the laugh track for a show that, you know, wasn't done entirely in front of a live audience.
Did you watch that episode too?
I did not, because I was too nervous and focused on being ready for my scene when it came up. And it's interesting thinking back on it, because, you jarred my memory. I went back and watched the episode, and it's still very funny, I think. But I couldn't remember which scenes were shot that night in front of the live audience and which were not. All of the apartment scenes, of course, were done live in front of the audience. But the other scenes that were done, of which there are a number of them, you know, with the car and things at the hockey game and the funeral and all of that, I couldn't recall. And even Kramer's last scene with Monkey, which I don't think was done that night. I think that was done at another time. I think I would have remembered the animal on the set, but I could be wrong. But I couldn't remember which ones, had been done in single camera on location and which had not. So I think it's a little bit, it must have been for the audience, just a little bit disjointed. And I don't remember how they handled that. If they had a comic there, as many shows do, who might have explained what a scene that was had been already shot and was single camera, just so that they could follow the story. I don't actually recall how that went. Maybe you guys remember, because you might have heard it from other people who experienced the same thing.
Yeah, we've heard from other people that there would be a warm-up guy there who would kind of explain certain scenes to the audience so that they could follow along. And we've also heard from other people that they would sometimes play the episode from the previous week to get the audience reaction, which is kind of cool because they're obviously watching an episode that hasn't aired yet.
Yeah, I think that always makes an audience feel like they're on the inside and special, just like it does to get to watch an episode be filmed in a three-camera kind of format. It's very exciting.
And one of the most interesting behind-the-scenes details from this episode is that they actually filmed an alternate ending to the George storyline where he and Sienna got engaged at the end. So I was just curious if you remember that story coming up at the table read at all, or if anybody talked about it on the set.
No, again, I don't recall that being talked about. Part of my memory of being on the show is, I think, partially because of how the things were shot, the cast did not hang out together as much as other sitcoms often did, like the set for the shooting Cheers. There was a lot of time when you were just all in the same space at the same time, and it was very convivial, and you felt like you were all there together. That wasn't as true, as at least for the episode that I was in. There was a sense of things being separate. We didn't have, all the regulars had their scenes that were together, and they, of course, knew each other very well by this time. But I think, at least for myself as a guest, I felt a little like I was on the outside, though everyone was very friendly and, like I say, supportive. It was great. I was thrilled to be there and on that incredibly successful show. But it was different than other, three-camera shows that I had done. And it felt, I didn't feel quite as intimately connected to people as the work situation often does feel.
Yeah, well, also, by the end of season 6, Seinfeld, the episodes were so busy, there were so many scenes, so there were a lot of times where they were shooting remotely or the cast wasn't together, whereas, a show like Cheers, they're at the bar the entire time, so that makes a lot more sense that the cast was spending more time together.
Yeah, I had no idea really what the show would look like until I saw it when it aired, because of those things that were single camera work, which was, we didn't get to see. It was done either before or after. I'm not sure when.
Did you ever watch Seinfeld at all before you appeared on the show?
Oh, yeah. I loved the show. Watched it, religiously. So I thought it was very funny. They were all very good. And, you know, like the rest of America, I think we all fell in love with that very particular kind of humor that nobody else was doing. And, you know, that's why I'm so excited to be on the show, as it is for an actor when you are doing a lot of guest shots. You get to be on, a show that's got a big audience like that. And you think, oh, this episode may run a lot. And indeed it has and continues to.
Well, we're always fascinated when we have a guest on who had a scene with Michael Richards, because we know how he took his job very seriously and he rehearsed a lot of his stuff on his own. So what was your experience like working with him in that scene?
He was great. He was terrific to work with. And I do know, as you just said, he did a lot of work on his own. He was very serious about every moment of his performance, even and especially perhaps all those moments when he makes an entrance and has all of those physical things he does coming through the door. I watched him work that out so specifically and carefully. He was a comic genius, no doubt about it. He also, I think, did better with some guidance, because I remember Larry David talking to him and giving notes along with the director about playing certain scenes. Because like the kind of comic genius he was, he might go a different direction and it might not be what they wanted. So I was interested that they were as specific with him in certain scenes as they were. Given that a show by this time, the actors all know who the characters are, all those regulars. So most of a week is taken up with the working on the script and sharpening the jokes and what has to happen in the, in the writing point of view, because those people don't need any more work on their character because they know them so well. The guests might need a little time, but if the casting is good, all of, they know what they saw in the audition and that's what they expect and that's what will be there for the performance. So it was interesting to me that that Michael got the kind of attention he did, and I think it helped him on the show and helped the show.
Do you remember what suggestions Larry gave to Michael?
I'm afraid I don't. I just remember them, off giving notes and talking about, and I tried to, as I watched the episode, I tried to think, I tried to recall exactly what scene he might have been, giving notes about, but I'd be making it up if I said I remembered. I don't really recall.
Did he give any suggestions to you at all?
My memory is no. I think they liked what I was doing, and it just seemed to fit. And so that's something they didn't need to worry about. They need to put their attention to where they needed to put their attention, which is essentially what you want when you're hiring a guest actor to fill in.
Were there any lines you or Michael had that were either changed or got cut during the rewriting process?
No. And the great line that's in there was in from the beginning, and it's a line I've remembered, even though I don't remember much about the episode, but the line about he's even ceased his autoerotic activity was a great line. And the biggest laugh in the scene. So it was fun.
Oh, that is such a great line.
And is there anything you tried to add to that scene that wasn't in the script? Because I noticed at one point you take your glasses off before you ask Kramer to apologize to Barry. So was that something that you just came up with on your own?
To my memory, yes. That's what it was. My take on the role, I've played a lot of petty bureaucrats in sitcom television. And I found my take on this was not unlike Mr. DiPerna, the assistant principal on Wonder Years, who is very serious and this is going to be on your permanent record. You know, that, and a lot of the humor, as I look at the episode again, a lot of the humor of their shows is these people who take what is something that's very small, but take it very, very seriously. We have a problem here. It's about the monkey. It's that. So my image, it was either, you know, a vice principal or the FBI talking to him. And that's the image I used for the character, and it seemed to be right because that's the one we went with.
Then Katie Silverstone, who played Sienna, was also in that scene with you. So what was it like working with her?
You know, I'm embarrassed to say I don't remember. I did chat with Michael a bit when he was free because I liked him and I thought he was really, you know, interesting. But he, like I say, he was spent most of his time not ignoring other people, but he was really working out exactly what he was going to do. And he's, I think it was very important for him as the kind of actor he is, that he said exactly what he was going to do and worked it out in advance. And it didn't change because he had suddenly was in front of an audience. He worked it out and then he delivered that. And it was terrific, you know, really brilliant. I still, when I watched the episode again, and at every one of those little entrances that he made was slightly different. And he'd worked those out so that they weren't, you know, the jerker. When you came through the door, whatever he did, it was specific in each instance so that it had this variety to it that was amazing. And I had worked, I wound up working with him on another show after this closed, after, you know, Seinfeld ended. And it was a different character, but involved a lot of physical comedy. And it was harder for him. And he was the lead of it on that particular show. And I know it was frustrating for him just because of the nature of who he was as Kramer and then who he had to be in this other show. It was, and I can't remember what the name of it, but it was an American remake of Fawlty Towers. And it was a show that never went anywhere.
And what was your impression of Jason and Julia? I know you probably didn't get to talk to them a lot, but just watching them perform their scenes.
Well, I thought they were terrific. I mean, I loved the show. And it seemed like the parts were written for them. And by that time, of course, they were written for them. So they did what they did so effortlessly. And delightfully, and even though we know who those characters were, they always managed to surprise me, which I think is the writing is what's responsible for that. You know, just that the little funeral scene with she and Jerry, and where she goes on about her clothes, is really quite brilliant from a writing point of view, and also the way she delivered it.
Oh, absolutely, love that scene.
Let me ask you, do you happen to know, was that filmed that night, the funeral scene, or was that done at another time?
I have a feeling it was done at another time, because there's a great blooper for that scene where Larry David's in the background, he's playing one of the mourners, and it just sounds like there was no audience there, and they added in the audience laughter for the blooper reel. So yeah, it was probably filmed at a different time.
That's what I thought, because I would have seen all those other extras around who were in that, if had that been the case. And I had no memory of, you know, that being the case.
I hate everything I have. I really hate it.
Why? Why?
I don't know why. I don't know. I wish I knew. I don't.
And you mentioned earlier that you also worked on Cheers. So how was that different compared to working on Seinfeld? Because what, you know, you'd already told us about it.
Well, the only other thing I would mention is that I had the good fortune to have a recurring role on Cheers. So Walt Twitchell, the other mailman, and that was myself, I think I did 4 episodes altogether. So they had written for me as opposed to writing a role and finding somebody just to do it. So they even had one episode there that where I had a much larger part, actually, that went all the way through. And I lost it in the rewrites by Wednesday. But at least the way they had thought about the character in that way. And so also anytime you went back for Cheers, because it was recurring, it was like you were welcomed back like you were a member of the family. So it was very convivial. And I, you know, had relationships, you know, social relationships with some of the people on that show when I would bump into them in other contexts. And I don't, I never had the fortune, good fortune to run into anybody from Seinfeld, but I don't know that it would have been the same kind of warm connection that I had with Cheers. Part of that may be just the nature of the world of those two plays, those two series. Very different kind of humor and a different world. You know, it's much warmer and convivial. It's Cheers for it, you know. And Seinfeld is a little more angular, a little edgier in some ways.
Do you have a favorite memory from your time on Seinfeld?
I don't really have something that sticks out like that from being on it. Other than the fact that I was there, that I got to do it, how I got the job is the biggest memory that's, you know, that I got it without having to audition for it, which is always very flattering to any actor that they call and ask for you. It's just great, especially if, you know, you make your living doing guest shots, which is primarily what I did when I was in Los Angeles. So that was what was most special for me about doing the show. And I was so pleased with the way it turned out. I think it was funny and the episode's terrific. And it's one I'm proud of. It's one of the shows that people still watch. I'm amazed at the, you know, I look at it in terms of the residuals that come in. And that it's regular and it has had a great, continues to have a great life in syndication.
What is something you didn't know about Seinfeld that you now know after being a part of it?
My admiration for Jerry is enormous and only grew from watching the show, watching what he did, enjoying what he did, and, you know, being a part of what he had created, because it feels very much like that's his show, as opposed to somebody finding a star and a writer that has a great idea, finding the right and putting that together. This feels like it grew right out of an idea he had. Now, I don't know if that's true, but sure felt like that. And his ownership of it and his being a creative driving force for it was only reinforced by me getting to be on it and watching it up close.
Yeah, I don't think he gets enough credit for all that he did on the show, especially after Larry left and he was, you know, head writer, producer, actor. I mean, he was wearing a lot of different hats and it could have really fell apart, but he really handled it well, I thought.
Definitely.
Well, I continued to watch it and I wasn't unaware that when he left the show, even back in the day when it was first airing. So I continued to watch it and didn't think that it suffered at all. I mean, I didn't notice a big shift. So you guys, with your close scrutiny, I'm sure are more sensitive to it than the general audience or myself.
And before we move on to our final segment, is there anything we didn't ask you or any other stories you'd like to share with us from your time on Seinfeld?
No, I think that's it. That covers at least what I recall in my experience about being on the show.
Oh, that was great. Thank you for sharing all that with us. All right, so before we let you go, we're just going to move on to our final segment. It's called This, That, and the Other. So basically, we just ask you a question, and the first thing that comes to mind, you let us know. So first question, what is your favorite film?
On the Waterfront.
Oh, nice.
Favorite band or musician?
Van Morrison is what comes up first.
Oh, great one. Love him. What role or performance are you proudest of?
Any show I got to recur on was special. But I think if I had to pick one thing I did from television, is probably Babylon 5. And I did an episode there that was a two-hander, just two of us for the full length of the episode. And I went in on a day's notice, so I was sort of unprepared in that I didn't get a chance to spend that much time with the script. I was doing another show. They changed actors. I had auditioned for it, but didn't get it. They lost that actor. They called me and I said, yeah, I'll do it. But I'm filming something and I'm not going to get a chance to, and it was, you know, lots of, it's just two of us talking. So there was a lot to get memorized. They were really helpful. They were great. And the episode turned out terrifically. And you don't get to see, I mean, an actor, a guest artist doesn't get to do, 55 minute show, just two people. And it was great. And I was very proud of how it turned out.
Favorite story working on the set of a film or TV show?
Nothing's coming up at the minute, right at the moment. And it's not a story, but I remember incidents doing The Naked Gun, and which was a wonderful experience. And Leslie was wonderful. And I got to also work with Ricardo Montalban, who was a piece of work in himself. He had great, great stories. And, everything from the, there are lots of fart things that happened on the set with whoopee cushions and all of that. So it was a very lively set that made it possible. The actor felt very free, supported, and do whatever you want to do. I mean, try something. And that was wonderful. But I'm sorry, I don't have a specific story or tale to tell.
Do you have any other stories from Cheers?
What I remember most about that made Cheers very special was that the cast always would get together after they finished doing the pickups. And if anybody wanted a picture with the cast, they were totally willing to do that. And when I was able to do that and then sent it to my mother, it was a big thing for her to be able to have that picture of me with that cast. And, just that they were so generous with their time and willing to do that was something that I'll never forget. It was part of what was great about working on that show.
Ah, that's great. The actor you worked with who was the most different from the character he or she played?
I think maybe it would be, you'll have to forgive me because his name's not coming up. When I did The X-Files, David Duchovny, who he was off stage and then who he was, or off screen, and who he was as the character, were remarkably different. And he was quite warm and friendly and amenable and humorous and smart. And you never got to see much of that in his character as Mulder. And it was a pleasure to do the cockroach episode, as it's called, I call it, with them, which is one of their odd, but has a big cult following. People like that particular episode.
Funniest or most unpredictable actor you've ever worked with?
Well, who comes up first? And I have to say this, though we never worked together in television and film, but you'll know him, is Jeffrey Tambor, who is a great, great comic actor and a great actor as well. And we worked together in the theater, but never had the good fortune, even though we were in Los Angeles at the same time and are old friends of long standing, but never had the opportunity to work together on the screen. I'm sorry about that.
He's hilarious.
Most starstruck you've ever been on a set?
The Golden Girls were pretty impressive and a little intimidating. All three of them in their own way. And I recurred on that show and in three episodes. So as I got to know them, it was just great. And they were wonderful to work with. But they were three really strong women. They were amazing.
I read once that not all the cast members got along on that show. Could you sense that at all during your time there?
Well, I couldn't tell from three episodes. They all had their own sense of this is my turf, this is my turf, this is my turf. So it was very separate in that sense. And also, one of the ones I believe there was, in my memory, Debbie Reynolds came in, did a guest shot in an episode with the three of them. And there was more marking of territory with her presence on the show. I just remember the feeling of it more than anything. There weren't incidents because they were all, first-rate professionals. But there was a sense of their own self-importance and that they have a place at the table and you better not forget it.
And final thing, favorite moment of your career?
I was awfully proud of being a part of the Wonder Years because I thought it was not revolutionary, but in a way, nobody had done that. And I got to be a part of all the first 4 years. And recurring, I did probably 12 episodes altogether. We'd do two or three a season playing Mr. DePerlin. And I got to be in a lot of really, really good episodes. But there were so many good episodes in it. And it was a fun show. It had heart. It really was about something. I think probably of all the, I mentioned that Babylon 5 episode. I'm proud of that. But to have been a part of the Wonder Years, I think was very special for me. That's what comes up first anyway, in answer to that question. If you're asking me about the theater, it would be a whole different kind of list of things I might choose from. But that's it for my time in the 20 years I did in Los Angeles.
Well, Ray, thank you so much for doing this. I mean, not only did we love your performance on Seinfeld, but you had so many great stories about some of the other roles from your career as well. And we thank you so much for sharing them with us today.
Well, I thank you as well. It's been an honor to be asked and to be a part of it. Sort of like when I got asked to be on Seinfeld. So there you go.
Yeah, the honor is all ours, honestly. And you did such a great job with that scene and with that character. It was so much fun to watch. And we just love talking to you about it. And you gave us so much great stuff. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Good luck.
All right. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to email us at theplacetobeseinfeld@gmail.com. You can also find our show on Facebook at The Place to Be, a Seinfeld podcast, Twitter at TPTBSeinfeld, and Instagram at theplacetobe.podcast. You can find our show on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, and Apple Podcasts. And if you'd like, please rate and review. It really helps us out. Until next time, be sure to hang up your pants for the perfect crease.
Well, I gotta go feed the marmoset.
You know, George really likes you.
Oh, she doesn't hear too well out of her left ear.
Oh.